Well, praise the Lord. How do you like that? People come out to church even when it's snowing. Is it snowing here? It's been snowing all day wherever we've been, and we come through, praise the Lord. And it's just the start. We know that that's the time of year, but praise God that we get lights. We don't have to do this by candlelight. Glory to God. We don't have to keep the fire stoked. Somebody didn't have to come in and be cold. I sat there in my easy chair this afternoon, and I pulled up the app on my phone just to make sure that the heat was working, and it said it was, so I assumed it was. Glory to God. That's faith. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You put faith in iPhones or whatever, but we got here and it was warm and that was good. Amen. Praise the Lord. But how many know that God's got something for us tonight? Amen. Yeah. Praise God. I'm excited. I'm actually very excited with the way, the direction that the Lord has been leading me to minister lately. I believe that, there's great and wonderful changes happening. You know, we are blessed to be in a place where we can freely really worship and have, we can have our services without police at the door. We don't have to come in by, although we came in at night, we didn't have to come in by the cover of night, that we didn't have to hide to do this, that we can be bold in what we say, amen, just because we have the freedom of speech, and that's a wonderful thing, amen. But there's Christians all over the world that don't have that, and we need to keep those things in our hearts as we do experience this blessing of what it is to live in this country, amen. Praise the Lord. But my wife and I this week, we got to be able to meet with some of the other pastors. I've been telling you that we've been kind of meeting and getting to know some other pastors in this area. And, one of the things that I'm really blessed by is the heart for this area. And it's amazing to me because when we first came here, we didn't know what we were getting into. Praise the Lord. When we first came to Cory, Pennsylvania, it was just like, it just seemed good in our hearts to come down here. And then, the Lord started dealing with us. And it was over the process of years that brought us to this area. Amen. Now I know we have people that are represented from the surrounding areas here tonight too. And so when I say Cory, I'm really talking about Cory area. So I hope I don't offend you too much, but I kind of speak in general terms like that. So praise the Lord. But we came to this area not knowing what to expect. And then as I came here, I was like, the Lord we started noticing that there was church after church. After church. In fact, we found out this week that the same time we started, there was like three other churches that started all in the same general time. Amen. Actually, probably not too far apart either. But one of the questions I remember asking the Lord was, Father, why would you have us come here? It's saturated with Christians. It's saturated with churches. And, the Lord showed me some things. And one of the things that he revealed to me is that even if every church in the area, even though there's abundance of churches, were filled to capacity, it's still not enough for all the people in the area. And, here's the thing is God isn't a fool. How many knows that God's not stupid? Amen. So God's not a fool. God knows that not everybody in the area is going to be in the churches. He knows that. Even if there's an outpouring, not every man, woman, and child is going to find a church. But that doesn't change the fact that God's going to give everyone an opportunity. And that's the wonderful thing about God is even when he knows that people won't, he still gives you opportunity. Amen? And so we've got an opportunity. We had opportunity to come here tonight or to not come here tonight, to trust God for what he wants to do in our lives. Amen? The pulpit, that's really all it is, the Bible tells us that these gifts and these of the ministry gifts are given to us so for the raising up of the saints and so they can go out and do the ministry. Amen? And so, there's been things on my heart that have been in line with that, and especially lately to really start focusing more on that. And of course, these messages that I've been ministering, I think, kind of go in line with that. But especially tonight, tonight I know tonight's message will help us in that pursuit and that endeavor. Amen. Well, that was just the introduction. Praise the Lord, and that was free, no charge. Glory to God. So we're gonna go ahead and get into the message. And tonight's message is called "Escaping the Emotional Trap." Praise the Lord. And it even come, look at the new graphics we got. Praise God. Hallelujah. All this fancy stuff. Jesus wish he had a TV. Could have just come at a later time, I suppose, but he came in the perfect time. Amen. Glory to God. But escaping the emotional trap, the emotion trap. And the reason this message is so near and dear to my heart is because I was always an overly emotional person. Amen. And it wasn't until I got to a place that taught me the word, that helped me see that I needed to learn not to be an overly emotional person. That my faith should not go up and down like a roller coaster. That my faith should be as steady as this, as a calm sea, praise the Lord. That my faith should always be on an even plane. And that doesn't mean that there isn't obstacles that will come against us. It doesn't mean there isn't times where we won't feel upset. But God wants, he has intended for us, he's given us his spirit so that we can live on an even plane, amen? An even playing field. And God loves us so much that he did that. We are not meant to be led and guided by our emotions. Emotions are meant for us to experience life, and that's a wonderful thing. I'm so glad. Aren't you glad that you can experience life? Amen. How I mean, God could have made us all robots, but how awesome is it that we can come together, that we can just live our life? I mean, I remember the other day, I was literally in my house. Nothing major had happened. I was just walking through. I think I had just got done reading something, and I was walking through my house, and I walked into my kitchen, and it wasn't even mealtime. So it wasn't even that was that exciting. You know what I mean? But I remember walking into my kitchen, and then all of a sudden, it was just inspired on the inside of me, and I just shouted out, "Praise you, Father. Glory to God." I was just so excited. See, it's awesome that we can experience life through emotions. Yeah. Amen. But how many know that that shout doesn't have to necessarily come just because you're experiencing something good? In fact, if you continue to learn and grow in the faith, which we all should, you'll learn that that we can do things despite how we feel, that we can live a certain way above how we feel. Amen. We see this, of course, in the Apostle Paul's life. And even as I sit here talking about this and thinking about it, I think, man, he would have been a real awesome example to use here tonight. But I'm not going to any of those scriptures, amen, because there's the other ones that the Spirit gave me. But I'm thankful for where we're going. And, of course, we're going to start over in something, a scripture that should not be unfamiliar to us in our circles, praise the Lord. But before I get into that, I just want to say this. Emotions begin as seeds in the mind. Emotions begin as seeds in the mind. And so the mind is a fertile soil, or it's a soil that can be planted into. And the things that we receive, of course, the Bible talks a lot about seeds, seed time and harvest and stuff like that. And of course, we know that that's in our hearts as well. But emotions are in the mind. That's where they happen. You know, you might feel, oh, my heart is so heavy or sad, or my heart is so happy. But really, that starts in your mind. Amen. Now, there's a spiritual aspect that's in our, you know, in our core that will connect with that. Praise the Lord. But emotions aren't necessarily guided by that. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're gonna see that here tonight. But more importantly, we're gonna see how to live aside from them, to experience them, but to live aside from them. Turn with me to Romans 12:2. Y'all know I like this scripture. Yeah. I don't know if I told the Corey Church, but I certainly told the Mayville Church. I might preach this scripture every single week this entire year. Now I haven't. But at least by saying that, I left the door open, and your expectation should at least be there. So glory to God. But this is a good scripture. This is one that I'm so often drawn to for myself, but for others as well. It says here, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove." Everybody say, I may prove. That means you may prove. When the Bible says that you may prove, that's given us instruction that we have a part to play in it. Amen? Now, the Bible wouldn't tell us that we have a part to play in it if we didn't have a part to play in it. And so we need to understand that especially when it comes to our mind, we absolutely have a part to play in it. Amen? Praise the Lord. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And I love this too. I mean, as we look at the scripture, you know, you can't get very far into it and start seeing really good stuff, right? But be transformed. Our transformation happens as we renew our mind. Now, how many know you can renew your mind on a lot of things? You can change your mind by a lot of things. Amen? You know, I remember pre-COVID, I looked at the world differently than I do post-COVID. Amen? Some of that wasn't necessarily God. Some of that was just the way that I looked at things. Sometimes when I experience something in life, I start looking at it differently through experience, not necessarily through the Spirit. But see, we can be transformed by whatever our mind is renewed to. Now, of course, renewing isn't hard to understand. It just means to renew, make it new again. Amen? And so the thing that we see here, and the kind of exciting thing to me, is the fact that no matter where my mind's at today, I can be renewed. No matter where my mind's at tomorrow, it can be renewed. Now, see, there should be a standard that we're renewing to, and that's one of the most important things. And, of course, the Bible teaches us to renew our mind with the Word of God. Amen? So that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, in case you didn't know, and I know you're excited about this, even though you didn't know, but you're going to be excited about it. But this week's Faith Fix, we actually deal with this questions about this, which I'm really excited for that too. But praise the Lord. If you don't know what the Faith Fix is we have a weekly devotional. Goes out on Tuesdays, at some point on Tuesdays, in your email. Amen? We also post that on our webpage and so on and so forth. But it's just a kind of like a little devotional. You know, we do it. We call it Faith Fix Ask the Pastor, where people can send in questions, praise the Lord, via email, or you could even write them on a white card, and then we attempt to answer them according to the Word. Amen? So we need to prove something out here. Glory to God. I had you repeat that. What is that will? What is the will of God? Or what the will of God is. We need to know what the will of God is. Yeah. And the only way to truly know the will of God is to learn His Word. Yeah. Because even if you got the Spirit, and the Spirit is wonderful, I love the Spirit of God. We are a church that believes wholeheartedly in the active part of the Spirit of God. He's just as active in our life, praise the Lord, is God the Father, God the Son. We're so thankful for the Spirit of God. But even with that, the Bible tells us that we have to test the spirits. We have to understand that there is that the devil is going to try to confuse us, especially when we're not when we don't know that much. When we, you know, a lot of my troubles I got into. I was saved when I was 14 years old, and then I went down a path. You all know, or some of you know, praise the Lord, that was not really good. I was, you know, I had a lot of demonic things happen to me. I was a cutter. I used to cut myself. I used to constantly, suicide was a thing. I was heavily medicated. All these things. Of course, the Lord delivered me from all that. But the truth of the matter is I didn't know the truth of the matter. I didn't know. I was saved at 14, but I didn't know that Jesus Christ had already delivered me from these things. And so I lived in a life, experiencing that life, without the realization that I was already delivered from it. And all it was a mindset. It was getting to know, having my mind be right on the right things. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. And so we have to understand that our emotions, they're typically going to be controlled by wherever our thought life is. Now, the problem with this is, and we should live spiritual lives, that's the most important, but the problem with this is if we're too much in our heads and we allow the emotions to be too loud in our life, what happens is we start living a life and making decisions not based on the Spirit, but based in our minds, in an unrenewed mind. And that's a dangerous place to live. I've seen it so often. This is why sometimes, you know, church boards, I'm not always a big fan of church boards, because the way church boards sometimes do things, because when they open up a church board to the whole congregation, what you get is you could have Joe Blow that doesn't know the Spirit at all, that hasn't spent any time with God at all. How many know there's Christians that don't spend time with God? Listen, I don't want somebody making spiritual decisions that doesn't spend time with God. If you're making spiritual decisions for a group of people or a church, you better have spent some time with the Lord. You know, people don't ask those questions enough, and this is why sometimes, you know, in churches we see some of this, because the world gets into the church, and of course the Bible says don't be conformed to the world. Don't do things the same way as the world. It doesn't mean live outside the world. It just means be different. It means be more like God than like the world. You know, loving your neighbor as yourself doesn't mean loving your neighbor as yourself when you like them or when they're likable or when they're lovable, but it means to do that all the time, especially when they're not lovable. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so that's exactly, this is a mindset, and that is a mindset. And so we can see that spiritual laws are more prevalent or start coming to the forefront when we yield ourselves to them. Actually, learning how to stop being emotional is the first way to start learning to yield to God's Spirit. If you want to be led by God's Spirit, which the Bible says you should be, right? If you want to know the direction that God has for you to go and make sound decisions, amen? I hear people all the time say, the Lord told me this or the Lord told me that. And we'll say, well, we'll see how that plays out. Because there's a lot of people that have said the Lord told me this or that didn't play out. And I'm like, the Lord didn't tell you that. Yeah, right. See, that's a good way of knowing if the Lord told you is afterwards, when you look back on it, say, the Lord told me to do this and it didn't work out. Well, either you quit or you did something wrong, or because God, when he tells you to do something, when God has direction, there's intent for it to come to pass, to succeed. Amen? And so I believe that a Christian can live a successful life. Now, a successful life according to the word doesn't necessarily mean that everybody's going to be a millionaire and that everybody's going to drive Lamborghinis and stuff like that. But it does mean this, that if you know what the will of God is, all this because of one scripture. See how you got me going? Praise the Lord. If you know what the will of God is, then you can always be successful. And that makes it so much easier to go through life. I love it because as I've learned to do this more, didn't say I'm perfect at it, but I'm doing it more than I did before. Didn't mean that to rhyme either, but I am doing it more than I did it before. Praise the Lord. And so as I do it more than I did before, my life is blessed more than it was before. Amen. Because God moves me into that place of knowing and seeing what he has for me, what he wants for me to do. It was not my choice to come down here. Praise the Lord. But it was something that God had. And as I've been learning, it's not just because, and there's that idea. I know that in some places, and I don't think this is so much here, because Corey is actually more receptive to, I think, new works than some areas are. But I remember when we first came to the Mayville area, people were like, why do we need another church? We don't need you. What are you doing here? And other pastors were even like, they're just trying to steal my sheep, and people get offended and stuff like that. And it's like, no, we got to back off on all that, That's right. Praise the Lord. If you know what God has called you to do, then you ain't got to worry about what anyone else has got to do. Somebody could open a church across the street. And if I know that God has put me here, that shouldn't change my mind. I should, but see, emotions would make some people say, yeah, I don't know if I like that. In Mayville this year, we had a church, a local church. We're right across the street. If you don't know where we're at, we're right across the street from the park, which is right on the lake. And we had a church doing a Sunday service at the park. Apparently, they didn't realize that we're doing Sunday services at the park. I mean, we're across the street, but we can see the park. The park is our overflow parking. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But you know something? I wasn't bothered by it. I rejoice in it. Why? Because if they can reach one person. We have a young lady who got saved in our Mayville church, and today she doesn't go to that church. But that same young lady ended up marrying a pastor and is part of that church. And that blesses me every bit as much. And I rejoice in the fact that we could be a part of that process. And that's what we're called to do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I better get into more scripture before you stone me. So let's turn to Galatians 5. Hallelujah. Galatians 5. There you are. Galatians 5. And we're gonna see this. Why is it important to renew the mind? Galatians 5:17 says, "For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit." Number one reason why you need to renew your mind is because your mind that's not renewed is a fleshly mind. It's going to think like the world thinks. It's going to do what the world does. It's going to want what the world wants. It's going to desire, all those things. It's going to be after what the world is after. And so so we see this right here, for the flesh sets its desire against the spirit. The carnal mind, the worldly mind, does not want to yield to God's Spirit. That is a big problem. That is why there's so many problems, glory to God, even in the body of Christ. You know, I'm reading a book right now. I just started reading a book by an author who I've learned to trust. A lot of good stuff. He's got a lot of good stuff. I love his balance. He's a charismatic Pentecostal scholar, and I like that because you don't see that a whole lot. But this man, you know, this book that I just started reading, and I'm reading it for different reasons than this. But the book that I'm just started reading is it's an answer to a book somebody else wrote against the things that we believe, okay? And he did not come out with it as an attack. He came out with it, and he actually is very clear about that. And even you can tell that's not as hard as you're reading. And I just started, so I mean, I should say I can tell from the foreword or the preface. Of the book, you know, and so, his heart isn't to attack, but it's just to bring clarity to some of the questions, amen. And what I like about that is that it is because he's not trying to fight with somebody, but he is trying to bring some truth to the matter. And it's always good for us to know that. But why are there, you know, I've been asked it as a pastor, as a Christian, as just a believer, I've been asked so many times, why are there so many different denominations? And it's because people generally just don't know how to yield to one another. I mean, a lot of times it's also because they don't know how to yield to the Spirit, but they don't know how to yield to one another. Listen, I can sit down with a man of God who is a Baptist, praise the Lord. I've heard so many. I have had no experience with the Catholic Church, none, like in my life. And so I always heard things about the Catholic Church. But there is a local Catholic priest or father or pastor. I don't know what they call me. See, that's how unknowledgeable I am about it. But this man knows the Lord. I got to meet him, and I was pleasantly surprised as I met him. Like, this guy knows the Lord. He believes that Jesus is the way to heaven, the only way to heaven, amen? He believes in the gifts of the Spirit. He believes in all the same things that we believe in here. Just because I had an idea that somebody else put in my mind, I was like, this guy surely wouldn't know the Lord and doesn't know. But see, that's a trap that we can get into, and that is wrong thinking. That's emotional thinking, amen? Praise the Lord. To think of ourselves in a greater measure than what we are. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so, I don't know how I got on that, but we'll get back to where we were here. Praise the Lord. The flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another. But notice here that it's also the Spirit that is in opposition against the flesh. So if we're living according to the flesh, we're embracing the flesh, what are we doing? We're in opposition to the Spirit. The Spirit, you could say this, because it does say this, the Spirit is opposed to us in those circumstances. Now, the Spirit isn't opposed to us as people, doesn't want to run us out of the place, but the Spirit is opposed to what we're doing. And we know it's important to please God, to be pleasing to the Lord. Actually, if we want to see the power of God working in our lives, the only way we're going to see it is if we're pleasing to the Lord. Amen? For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions. There's a bunch of stuff here, isn't there? Envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Man, oh man, oh man, that would clean up a lot of church right now, wouldn't it? I start right here. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you the truth. What keeps me right? Scriptures like these. What keeps me straight, trying not to sin, to fight against sin, to want to do the will of God, to not just want to be lackadaisical about my faith, to not be another one of those Christians that just says, "Oh, I'll just do whatever makes me feel good. Just do you," right? That's what they're teaching the world. You know what that is? The ultimate opposition of the word, that phrase. Just do you. That should never come out of a believer's mouth. Why? Because coming out of a believer's mouth tells you that they might be a believer, but they're not a knowledgeable believer. They're not one that knows the Lord, because God is in opposition to these things. These things are the same things that separated us from Christ. It's the truth. They separated us from Christ. Now, Christ has come so we can come back. He made a way for us to come back. But if we return to these things, if we desire to live in these things, then we live opposite of what he's paid for. And that puts us in a place of being danger. And I am convinced that that is why a lot of Christians see trials that they shouldn't even have to see. A lot of things that they go through. The Bible says that if we would judge ourselves, well, where does that happen in the church anymore? There isn't people judging themselves. It's like sometimes it's just a free-for-all. Live any way you want. Just come to church and some places are teaching you don't even have to repent anymore. The Bible teaches us opposite that. But I bring up these scriptures and get you into all these things because I want to draw some things to you. It says there at the end, things like these. So in other words, it's not just those things, but it's things like those. So if Paul happened to leave some things out as he was talking to the Galatians, amen, if anything could be like this, probably in that same category. Now see, here's the thing. God doesn't want us to not sin just because it's something that he would, you know, he just doesn't want us to have fun. He wants, because he knows that these things are destructive. And see, this is what gets people and of course, a lot of them, you see their character issues. When you see disputes and outbursts of anger, strife, jealousy, things like that. Amen? One I want to draw your attention to is factions. Because as I was studying that out, it's really interesting. The word factions there means a body of men following their own tenets. That's really important. Now, we can think of factions in this, like I was saying earlier, you know, I'm Catholic, I'm Baptist, I'm Pentecostal, I'm whatever, you know, whatever people want to call themselves. I'm Lutheran, you know, I'm Episcopal. You put a name on the door, and those are factions. In fact, Paul seen this a lot. He said, you know, he corrected the Corinthians about this. He said, some say I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, you know. And then he says, what are they but just servants? We're all just servants, praise the Lord. But people want to split up into factions. They're run by their own tenets. But you know that this doesn't necessarily have to be just tenets of faith. These are our tenets of faith. These are what we believe, and you believe differently, so we're different, and that's our faction. That's a faction. But how about this? How about when I insist on having my own way? Yeah. How about when I insist on having things, you know, it works for Burger King, it doesn't work for the church. It works for Burger King, but it doesn't work. I'll tell you this, though. It doesn't work for Burger King employment. It might work when you're there ordering a burger, but I'm going to tell you right now. If the guy who was flipping the burger said to the manager, say, hey, you know what? I'm going to have things my own way. Probably wouldn't have a job very well. Today they might give them a job, maybe even give them a raise. Who knows what they do today because they're doing all kinds of goofy things out there. But the point that I'm trying to make is you know that that wouldn't work. Praise the Lord. Try running a house like that. Anybody got any little kids around here? I think we have a few. Think about this. And if you don't have a little kid, think about a little kid. You probably know one. And if you don't know one, well, then ask one of the people that has one and they'll tell you. Just find one with a little kid and ask them. What would you do? What would happen if you just let them go by their own tenets? Let them run their life by their faction, by the way they see the world. Now, I know Jesus said that you got to come to God as a child, and that's important, but it doesn't mean that you act like a child the rest of your life. Right. See, as we come to God as a child with that idea of childlike faith that we trust Him without question because He's God, He's our Father, and we can absolutely trust Him. We can absolutely throw in with Him. But Paul even talked about, by now he said you ought to be eating whole food, and you're still just drinking milk. And we know that that's what little children do. But see, Christians, so many times we don't grow out of that. We want things our way. We want things the way we always saw them or the way we always thought that they needed to be. Or, you know, somebody always said this in my family. They always like things this way. Praise the Lord. And then you're going to learn as you grow up that not everybody else sees things that way. But we want to split up. We want to have our way. We want to have our factions. And we allow these emotions to drive us. You know, the emotions over them. Glory to God. My son is still newly married. They haven't made it a year yet. They will make it a year, but they haven't yet. I'm just saying they haven't got to that point yet. And of course, Allison is, what a wonderful blessing she is. She's our daughter. We don't look at her any differently than that. Glory to God. But they're learning, you know, they're just starting some of their first holidays. And they're learning that they got different families now. And they've come together. And now it's like, well, this is the way we do things. And yeah, but we do things this way. And we usually go here. Well, we usually go here. And there's all this back and forth. And what is our advice in that? Just work it out. You'll be fine. You'll figure it out. Just don't completely forget about us. Praise the Lord. But you know that happens in life. And not everybody's, some people, you know, you ever gone into somebody else's house and just thought, man, that's just plain weird. I don't want to be here even anymore. You know what I mean? Well, that's what happens. You know, that's life. That's factions. Different households, different things. But see, the thing is, the problem is not that we have differences. It's great that we have differences. And I love that we can look at things from a different perspective. And we can see, somebody doing something. We can see a different side or a different angle of it. That's wonderful. But what happens if we get so worked up by these things that we start fighting about them? Well, we've seen that before, haven't we? We all have known family get-togethers that are no longer enjoyable. Family, you know, when you have holidays, the purpose of these things, and we're entering that holiday season, and so if anyone else is dealing with this, I just encourage you along these lines. The purpose of that time is to come together under that bond of love and to be together and to enjoy each other, and yet it becomes strife and it becomes fighting and it becomes awkward. And why does it become all that? It becomes that because of emotions. Because we embrace our emotions instead of looking at things like, you know what, sometimes we have to yield here, sometimes we have to yield there. You know, the simple, one of the greatest, I think one of the greatest probably epidemics in the body of Christ is the failure to be able to yield. That people can't yield to each other. That they can't say, you know, it's like a pastor will preach week in and week out. I preach at least generally 3 sermons a week. Amen. Plus whatever counseling or anything else that we do. You don't think when somebody talks that much, they're going to say something dumb? You don't think that I'm going to say something sometime that isn't right? You don't think that every once in a while, Jeff is going to break through into the message and you're going to hear something out of my mouth and not something that the Lord filled? Well, of course it's going to happen. Does that cause you to break unity? Does that cause you to disconnect just because there's one thing? Now, granted, if I start preaching heresy and it's one thing after another, you're starting to say, well, this is getting a little bit ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? Well, you get to that place, that's something totally different. But see, people, they move because of they're faction-minded. They're emotion-minded. I want things the way I want them. Praise the Lord, instead of learning to yield. I remember when I was young, very impressionable. I was young, maybe a teen. I maybe had made it there. And I remember in my grandparents' church and growing up, and they took me to church, and I'm so thankful for that. You know, my founder, both of them went home to be with the Lord this year. Wonderful people of God. But how many know they're even wonderful people of God? You're not going to do everything perfect. And, you know, I remember when I was a little boy, I remember sitting in the back of the church afterwards, and they had a meeting with the elders and the pastor. And I remember they didn't like something that the pastor, I don't even remember what it was about, but I remember experiencing it, and it imprinted me forever. I believe that I'll never forget this. In fact, it's come up in my heart so many times I've thought about it. But I remember the anger. I remember the pastor being so frustrated because he believed that what he was doing was God. And I remember the elders, they wanted things their way. And I'm going to tell you, I don't even remember what it was, but I remember this. As a little boy, I knew that the elders were wrong. I knew they were wrong because the pastor's heart was different. I could see it in him, and I could hear his pleas. And I can't even remember what it was, but you can know. You can understand if you just, you don't even have to be that smart to be able to see it. You can just know. But I knew it was because they didn't like, and really what I think it was is I think it was I'm not even going to say what it was, but it doesn't matter. But the point was, I remember seeing that, and I remember that emotion coming out, and I remember how they were all reacting, and it was just, it was divisive, and it was nasty for a minute. And I remember that the pastor, I remember him walking through the back door of the sanctuary and slamming the door because he was so mad. That's how heated it got and how serious it was. But I also remember him turning back around and coming back out. And I remember him and my grandfather. My grandfather was one of the elders. And I remember them embracing each other and hugging each other and getting beyond it, at least for that moment. And that, like I said, that's an impression in me, but that's exactly how we are. You know, we're humans. We even though we've been given this wonderful gift and we've been given the Spirit of God and we've been given the blood of Jesus and we've been given all these things for us to absolutely live a life that's a blessed life and a life that's after God and in the fullness of true joy. Even with that, we still have our humanity. We still have these things that harken back, that call within us that draws us back to sin, that draws us back to those disputes and those things that God just absolutely detests. Praise the Lord. But we have a choice on what we do with it. When we look at it, when we look at ourselves, do we think soberly about what we're doing and what we're saying and how we're acting, or do we just act? Do we say we need to maybe tone it back? Will we hear somebody else's side? Yeah. I've learned this as a parent. And certainly if there's any other parents, you know it. Your children are probably never wrong when it comes to someone else. You know it. If somebody else came to you and said, your child was doing this or that, you'd get offended. And then there's sometimes I find there's people that go too far with it. And they want to blame everything on one kid. I've seen it on my kids. I've seen it on other kids. But if we would look at it honestly, what I tell my kids is this, whenever they're faced with somebody, and maybe an adult or somebody that's over them, and they're faced with it, and they're just not being fair to them, you know what I always encourage my kids on? It's a good time to train your heart. It's a good time for you to learn to yield yourself. It's a good time for you to submit to somebody else, even when they're wrong. Now, I'm not talking about when somebody is abusive or hurting you or something like that. Of course, there are extremes that goes too far. But I'm talking about things that don't matter. Maybe they just weren't nice to you. Actually, my sister Chris is back there. She had an example of this in her life once. And I ain't going to go into details just because of, for other people, not anyone here, not her. But somebody who was just not being very nice, but turned it around by the love of God. Yeah. And what was something that was painful and something that was hard, because she chose right, it became something that was a blessing. Am I right? Yeah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And see, that's exactly, you know, and of course, we all know that Chris is so nasty the rest of the time. But that one time, she got it right. No, praise God. We know that's a joke. But my point is that, you know, this is what God has called us to. The emotions, let the emotions die. You know how we get over fights in our household? We get over them. We say, this isn't good. We know it's not good. It's things like these, right? You're arguing with your spouse. You're having that intense fellowship. You know what I'm talking about. You don't agree, and maybe they are completely wrong. Not my wife. My wife is not wrong. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But my point is, you get to that place and you're completely wrong. But you know that that falls in this category. Yeah. And you know, 1 Peter 4:8, that love will cover a multitude of sins. Yeah. That by simply yielding yourself in the love of Christ, maybe even going before God. I find that it's good to go before God. When I can't do something, I don't want to do something, or I'm just being stubborn, I just go before God. God, I don't want to do this, but this is what I'll do because your word says it. And you know what? He's obligated, according to his word, to work it out. He's obligated to get you to a place of being, if you'll be right, this is what I love about, I can think of dozens of people that need to hear what I'm saying right now. If you will be right, God will work it out. I said, if you will be right, God will work it out. We're not getting very far, very fast, but we are getting close to the end, I promise you. Amen. 1 Corinthians 3. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not pretending that I have like Paul's anointing, but didn't he preach for like 3 days? Jesus had some long sermons. I mean, people got hungry. Not hungry because they just, you know, it's gone 10 minutes over lunchtime, but they got hungry because it gone past meal times, many meal times, and now they're hungry. They're like on the verge of starving. Feed them or they're going to faint kind of thing. You know what I mean? That's, you know, if you didn't know how the bread and the fish came about being split, that's kind of part of what was going on. They were having church. Glory to God. But we ain't going to go that long. I'm not using that as an excuse. I'm just saying. I'm using it to get to the... Yeah, never mind. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3, 1. We're going to start in verse 1. Praise the Lord. I love this because in my Bible, it says foundations for living. Amen? And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as men of the flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now, you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere men? As Paul says to them, are you not walking like mere men? And you might think to yourself, but I am a mere man. That's merely what I am. Praise the Lord. But I am what I am, right? I mean, you are what you are. But he says you're acting like mere men. Meaning that just because we are mere men in the sense of obviously we're not men. We don't, you know, we do believe in gender differences in this place, right? I don't know if that'll get me kicked off of something or in trouble somewhere, but we do believe that there are differences in genders. But man, meaning mankind, that you're acting just like humans. You're just acting like you always acted. You're not. You see, this is the problem. This is the problem in the world is that they're looking at the church and they're saying you don't look. You're acting like us. You're no different than me. You look just like I do. Your life doesn't look, you know what I mean? I mean, obviously we're going to look similar, you know, we got, you know, 14 fingers and 3 toes or something like that. But, you know, you know what I'm saying? We all look the same, but no, they're acting the same in the way that they are. They're acting just like the world. There's been no transformation. They're like, why do I need to come to Jesus? Why would I even need Jesus? See, the truth is that when you have a true encounter with God, when the Holy Spirit truly fills you, then all of a sudden things change. Because things can't stay the same because the way you were was a mere man. The way you were was not able. See, we love to hear scriptures about the power of God and glory to God. We want to see revival. We want to see outpourings of the Spirit. And we want to see God's Spirit come upon people and do amazing miracles. Wouldn't it be nice to see somebody walk on the water? Wouldn't it be nice to see blind eyes open? Wouldn't it be nice to see people who were dead raised back to life? Wouldn't it be nice? You're not going to get there the way you always went. There's got to be change in you. And if you embrace your emotions, if you embrace that way of living, there will never be change. Because there can't be. There never could be. Because it was never in you to be there. You were a mere man. God has made us different by His Spirit that lives on the inside of us. He enables us. By His Spirit that lives within us. His Spirit is the power of God. His Spirit is the thing that raised Jesus. Jesus didn't come up out of the grave by Himself. It was the Spirit of God that gave Him life. And that's exactly what the Spirit wants to do for you. He wants to give you life. He wants to empower you. He wants to make you different. But you got to be willing to go. And what I mean by different is, I mean, you know, it doesn't mean that you got to wear different clothes or that you got to comb your hair differently. It means that you live differently, that you look at life differently, that you look at people differently, that you look at the church of God differently, that you look at the Word of God differently, that you look at life the way that Jesus said we should look at life. That's true Zoe life, as the Bible calls it. which is the life of God. There is a difference between the life of man and the life of God. The life of man is the life that you lived, and it was the life that led to death. It was the life of death. All there was there was death. It was failure after failure after failure. It was addiction. It was upset. It was never knowing what was going to happen. That's the life of man. If you want the life of man, then you live the life of man. But if you want the life of God, you have to renew your mind to the things of God. You have to renew your mind to the truth of God. You have to let God infiltrate your life and transform you according to His word. Praise the Lord. It's a cool night and I'm working up a sweat. Hallelujah. Now I want you, we got just a few minutes left. I want you to see this. We're going to make a connection here. Let's go down to verse 16, stay in chapter 3. And look at what it says here. A little bit of embracing of this in the mind would change the way you look at some things. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. Let no man deceive himself. Women, you're included in that. Let no woman deceive herself. Most deception, I can't put a number on this because I don't have it, but I'm telling you, I believe it with all my heart because I've seen it. Most deception in the life of a believer is self-deception. The devil never had to do a thing. In fact, we make the devil's job so easy in that we deceive ourselves and we happily do it. This is what I want, and so this must be right. This is the way I see it, so this may be right. And if everybody else doesn't agree with me, then they're going to hear from me. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Well, you better be careful what peace of mind you're giving them. If you want to change lives, if you want the power of God flowing, if you want to see God do things on this earth, you're going to have to give them a piece of a renewed mind, not a piece of an old mind, because the old mind didn't do anything good. And that's what stale religion is. That's why we've got, and stale religion isn't a denomination, you understand? Stale religion is a bunch of people who let themselves get stale. There are a bunch of people who allowed themselves to be deceived. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks he is wise in this age, he must become foolish so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. For it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are useless. So let no one boast in men, for all things belong to you. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all things belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Hallelujah. Belong literally means to exist. All things exist for us. We exist for Christ, and He exists for God. That's what it literally means to belong. All things exist for us. What does that mean? That means I can fill my pockets with everything because everything's mine. That's not what it means. It means that everything is at your disposal, that if God has called you to do something, He'll provide the way to do it. He'll make it able. He'll make you able. All you got to do is trust Him. All things are at your disposal to do the work of God, whatever it takes. If God says, go plant a church, and it's going to cost $10 million to plant a church, guess what God will supply? Even if you're dirt poor, He will supply the $10 million, whatever it is. You understand? But this has to be balanced out. This just doesn't mean that we, lavish whatever, glory to God. I got a nice ring on my finger. Listen, the church didn't buy me the ring. It was a ring that I wanted. And my wife, I think my wife bought it. Did you buy it for me? Or we bought it. We've saved up for it. This little, just, you know what I mean? What is that? Is it me being fit? No, it's just because I like the ring and I wanted to wear it. And it's special to me. And the Lord, but guess what? If God told me to sow it and give it, I would do just that. Amen? So it's not about rings. It's not about stuff. You know, God doesn't care if I have a ring or don't have a ring. See, some people get tripped up by that stuff. They'll say, and I'm just not trying to bring, because it's a $200 ring. I mean, it's nothing, you know, it's not like it's, you know, it's not like it was 10 grand or something like that. But even still, if somebody come in wearing a $10,000 ring, what is that to me? It doesn't matter to me. Praise the Lord. None of this stuff matters. It doesn't matter to God. If there's anything the Bible teaches us, it doesn't matter to God. All that matters to God is that whatever it is in life doesn't have our hearts that He does. He made Solomon dirt or filthy rich, right? But He said, don't let it have you. This is the idea before. And that's why He gave it to him. I'm not saying He's going to make every believer rich. That's not what I'm saying. But my point is that God doesn't care about things because He uses gold as dirt or as pavement. It doesn't matter to Him. And we have to get over that kind of thinking. But part of getting over that kind of thinking is saying, if God has called me to do something, then there's got to be a way to do it. Instead of sitting around defeated like, I don't know how I can do it. Praise the Lord. Because it never looks like we can. I haven't done anything yet for the Lord that ever looked like I could. Including what I'm doing tonight. I'm telling you, honest to God, I get every single, I say this almost every week. The longest walk of my week is from that chair to this pulpit. Why? Because I'm going just hoping that God will be good, knowing, hoping, and expectation that He'll allow me to speak. Because I can't even speak in front of people on my own. I hate it. Praise the Lord. Ask my wife. I'm just not, praise God. Hallelujah. But God will empower us to do what we got to do, whatever it is. If He says speak, that's why I don't like it when people say, oh, I could never do that. That's what I always said. Then He made me do it. I'd say literally, I couldn't even pray in front of other people. We go to a restaurant. I remember early on in the faith, I went to a restaurant with a girlfriend in the faith. You know, it was a girl I was like kind of, you know, we're Christian dating, so it was good at that time. What I mean is we weren't doing bad things. You know what I mean? We weren't world dating. We were actually Christian dating. It didn't work out, and that's good because otherwise I wouldn't be here with her. Amen. I'd be here with somebody else. I might not be here at all. Who knows? Praise God. But God has brought us here to this place. Glory to God. But I remember going to the restaurant and being like, I can't pray in front of you and all these people. So that's how I was. Deathly afraid of speaking in front of people. Whatever God has called us to, He'll enable us. That should excite us because if we truly have a heart to live after God, it starts our day off every day on a really good note. Because I could wake up today and go, well, I might not know what God has for me to do today, but I do know this, I'm well able to do it, that there'll be ability to do it, the supply will be there, everything I need, glory to God, to walk out what God has called me to do. I'm going to close with this scripture. Oh, I didn't even get into real good stuff, amen? Galatians 6:8. For one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. If you want the things of the Spirit, which is whatever you would go to God for, that means you're asking God, you want spiritual things. Listen, even if you're praying for something natural, that's a spiritual transaction. How do you know? Because God ain't going to, like, you know, all of a sudden, if you need money, say you need money to pay a bill, all of a sudden He can start raining quarters over your house. You understand? It's not going to happen that way. God will give you a method to get it, but it isn't going to happen that way. And so what you are doing is you are spiritually transacting with the Lord. So if you want the things of the Spirit, you got to sow to the things of the Spirit. You got to look at the things that are spiritual and not the you know when we give an offering or we tithe or we do any of these things. And even if you don't, like, it's a spiritual transaction. When you come to church, it's a spiritual transaction. You have made a choice to put yourself in a place of receiving from God. I hope we come to church with the expectation that we're going to receive from God, that somehow He'll use this guy to do something good. Amen, right? That would be the hope. At least I hope so. Praise the Lord. I hope you hope so. Or if we go to any other church or any other service or have any other kind of outreach or whatever we do. When you go to the Word, why do you read the Word? Just because you want to read another book? I read the Word even when I hated reading books. Praise the Lord. Why do I read the word? Spiritual transactions. You want spirit, you got to sow to the spirit. If you want flesh, then you're going to then sow to the flesh. A lot of people, they want the spirit, but they sow to the flesh. And so they never get the things of the spirit. And then they wonder why things never change. I'm telling you right now, God has put my life on a completely new course because I learned about sowing to the spirit. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect at it. That's why I'm not perfect yet. I haven't been translated yet. You know, we don't have everything all in order yet. But we're working towards that goal, which should be the goal of every Christian.